genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we'll be having a giveaway later in the show. You want to call in then. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has some interesting subject to share with us, no two of which are alike. My first guest helps individuals and companies go from obscurity to top of mind in their areas of expertise. We'll discuss how businesses and people can raise their visibility from his book, It's Not Who You Know, It's Who Knows You. My second guest is the founder of eScription, a medical transcription company. He sold his company to Nuance and earned a huge payday for starting the company. He believes, like Warren Buffett, that the wealthy should pay more in taxes to help America out of its current financial situation. We'll discuss whether lowering the top of society through taxation can lift the bottom of society. My third guest is a best-selling novelist. Now, typically, I don't interview novelists, but the premise of his latest book, Blood of the Reich, fascinated me. We'll discuss the secret and very controversial Nazi mission to Tibet in 1938 and its impact on Hitler and the world. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. David Averin is known internationally as the Visibility Coach. David is a best-selling author, a popular speaker, a trainer, and an executive coach. David's advice to large corporations and small business owners, entrepreneurs, and professionals help them to stand out from the competition and become top of mind with their prospects. His creative and eye-opening promotional strategies have helped thousands of professionals and business owners refine their message, build their brands, promote their unique aspect of their business, products, and services to consumers and clients around the world. Welcome to the show, David. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being our guest because you truly are the visibility coach. And this is one of the things that in this economy, people, business owners realize that they've got to become more visible. But I want to start on with an old adage, an adage that dates back to the 1940s and the 1950s. And it goes like this: fools' names and fools' places are always seen in public places. Now, the implication is that everybody who you need to know that's important to know, you're already going to know. So in what ways is this old adage obsolete in the hyper-competitive 2010s?
Well, you know, so much of what you hear, and I think that the derivation or the source for the title of my book and my presentation is you hear so much, it's really all about connections. It's really all about, you know, who you know. And I like to sort of turn that on its head and say, I think what's really more important is who knows you. If you're in business, if you're a small business owner, an entrepreneur, 100% of the people who don't know who you are can't buy from you. I don't know, is that a double negative?
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the your number one competitor is not your competitor, it's anonymity. If they don't know who you are, they can't buy what you got. 20 years ago, they would say, you build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. Today, you have a warehouse full of mousetraps and many other competitors overseas with lower price mousetraps. We have to be visible. It's not just being good at what you do, because the reality is being really, really good at what you do just gives you permission to do business in the marketplace. It puts you on a par with everybody else who is also really, really good at what they do. It's the biggest problem. I speak to organizations across the country and around the world, and what I say time and time again, I say, I've got really bad news. And the bad news is everybody's good. I mean, everybody's really good, and as much as we'd like to think of the competition and others who try to, either provide what we do or solve the same problem in their own unique way. We like to think of them as sort of the competition or the enemy, and here's who we're trying to defeat or compete against. And the reality is, not only are they really good at what they do, all those competitors, they're also generally very nice people, and they love their children, and they're not kicking puppies. It's almost everybody is a commodity. Customers always have choices. The question is, when everybody's good, why should they choose you?
And that's a very important question. My guest is David Averin, and I loved what you said. Your number one competitor isn't your competition, it's anonymity. I think that was great. I wrote that down as being very important. Now, looking at your book, I see that Joe Calloway wrote the foreword for your book. Joe's been a guest on my show in the past. See, I'm using one of your techniques right there, fame by association.
That's exactly right. Joe Calloway is a great friend and colleague and is a hero of mine, you know, with the author of the book, Becoming a Category of One. But I wanted to align myself with people who really share that thought, that is, how do you transcend commodity? And commodities today are not just milk and eggs and water. It's everything because so many people are good. The main point of my book, and even when I speak, is what I call the four most dangerous words in business. And those words are all things being equal. You know, all things being equal, we shop basically based on price or proximity. Whoever's the cheapest, whoever's the closest.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask my audiences all the time, I say, show me your hands. Who aspires to be the low price leader in your category? Yuck. You know? Now, I've also heard speakers who will get in front of an audience and say, if you do X and Y, price is no longer an issue. Are you kidding me? Price is always an issue, but if you are priced competitively, give me some reason to choose you. Give me something that you can offer that no one else can. Maybe you've got double the warranty. Maybe you've got a higher profile or a proprietary product or process or technology or a very, very clever name that's not too cutesy. The good news is there's a lot of ways to do this right. And by this, I mean stand out, stand above, to really differentiate yourself from so many who are also really good. A lot of ways to do this right. The only way to do it wrong is to blend in
and
to be boring. And the good news for most of you listening right now, if you own a small business, if you're an entrepreneur, most blend in. I mean, everybody's good.
And that,
so why are you better?
But that brings us to the whole point of having you on the show, David. Where does one begin to increase their visibility, increase their notoriety, either in their business or personally?
Right. Well, you know, I think it really begins with a deep dive. We spend a lot of time, and I think rightly so, in our business, being very good at what we do and perfecting our processes and our systems and our delivery and our manufacturing, whatever it is that we do. But sometimes we shortchange the marketing process because we kind of have our blinders on. And most of what we say is largely true in our marketing materials, our websites. What we sometimes don't realize, and I see this is the rule rather than the exception, is that the words you use to describe what you do too often mirror almost identically the words your competitors use to describe what they do. And I think the place we start is with the words that we choose, because most in business have spent years, if not decades, building their business and their reputation and their pipeline. Many have spent millions of dollars to perfect their systems and their infrastructure and build their facilities. But most people in business have spent mere minutes crafting the words they use to describe what they do.
Hmm.
And they tend to fall into this category. I call it the blah, 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 right? It's every market I go to, Billy, I got to tell you, there is multiple companies in every market, and those of you listening will recognize this, and they say, well, what's different? You know, it really comes down to the people. Our people make the difference. Really? Don't they bear a striking resemblance to the people who work for your competitors? We have got to stop pretending that our people are our competitive advantage, or it's our great customer service. Everybody does and can do that. Now, specificity leads to credibility. So if you can say we have more ASPT certified technicians than anyone else, and your industry celebrates that, then it can make a difference. But the broad claims of quality, of really caring about our customers are job one, or our people make the difference, mean nothing anymore because it's so overdone. Anybody in food service, here's what you hear all the time, right? We use only the freshest ingredients. We use only quality ingredients. Good? You're serving me food? Competency is not a differentiator.
All right.
Right?
That makes
sense.
It makes perfect sense. My guest is David Averin. We're talking about his book, It's Not Who You Know, It's Who Knows You, The Small Business Guide to Raising Your Profits by Raising Your Profile. And David, I'm going to ask you to put the rubber to the road. We're going to use a real-world example here. We're going to turn our attention to the upcoming 2012 presidential election. Now, interestingly enough, this is a shameless plug for our county. The Republicans are coming here to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley to debate on September the 7th. So let's apply some of your techniques to the GOP candidates. And here's the interesting part. Ron Paul finished second in the Iowa straw poll behind Michelle Bachmann. Bachmann had 28% of the votes. Ron Paul had 27% of the votes.
Sure.
The media all but ignores Ron Paul, despite his finish in Iowa. In fact, the media predicts the front runners in the Republican Party are going to be Mitt Romney, Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Perry in that order. So what is Ron Paul doing incorrectly that he's being shunned by the press? And more importantly, how can Ron Paul use your techniques to increase his visibility in the GOP field?
What a great question and an unexpected one. Here's the point, is any time, and this is a lesson for everyone, any time that your approach to the marketplace is one that is so galvanizing, so narrowly focused as to be dismissible, like if you go out and you make a claim that's saying that, you know, whether it's the grapefruit diet and it cures cancer and everything else, there's going to be a hardcore population who are going to really believe, a very small population, but it sounds so outrageous to most that you are dismissible. The problem is the news media will look at those outliers, the ones who say, well, this person never has a chance on a broad scale, and so they're not going to get the attention. What's the lesson for those in business? The lesson is, do we want to be inclusive or exclusive? And both of them can be very successful. I'm a big believer in niche marketing. You know, when I was in college and I remember taking a marketing course and the professor said, never ask a yes or no question in your ad because the answer might be no.
Right.
When I get out of school and I realize I love asking yes or no questions because if the answer is no, good, you're not my prospect. I want to focus on the people who really would buy from what it is that I have. Unfortunately, to be elected president, you need to appeal to the masses. And we both know from a political perspective, you not only have to win your base, but you have to win the middle. And so he comes across in a way, and I think Michelle Bachmann is going to have the same challenge, in that the hardcore, the Tea Partiers will love the message, but the question is, will they win the independents?
Hmm.
And that was the argument against a Sarah Palin. It was an argument against a Hillary Clinton. Can they win the base, and can they win the middle? And so I think the challenge with Ron Paul right now, and not to get too far into politics, is he has a very passionate base. But the question is, if you look at sort of a target with concentric circles emanating out from it, is he going to go to that next level of circle and the next level? The media clearly feels he won't.
Ah, well, that's a good perspective. My guest is David Averin. We're talking about how one raises one's visibility. So I guess the bigger question is, David, in today's world, what do you get by being more visible? What are some of the benefits of increased visibility, and what are some of the downsides?
Well, I don't know what much in terms of downsides. You know, I know for so long you heard the line that you know, all PR is good PR, or
right,
any visibility is good. I don't believe that's true. I think you can be known for the wrong things, and then trying to change someone's mind, we hear that as rebranding, is very, very difficult. When you see a sign on a building in a strip mall or in a shopping center, it says under new management, that's basically says we used to stink.
Right.
You know, you likely had a bad experience. We're different now. Try us again. That's hard to do. I think what visibility does is there's so many competitors, there's so many people who do what you do or profess to solve the same problem. Without that visibility, you're not even in the running. There's been this huge shift in America, in consumer markets, from selling to buying.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean, is that you go to a grocery store, nobody sells you anything anymore. You go there and you buy things. You go online and you buy things. But what do you buy? You buy the brands that you know, the
right
ones that are visible, because it's a safer choice.
All right, and that makes sense. But let me ask you this, David. Let me follow on, because you've got something in your book that you call the surprising power of invisibility. What's that?
Yeah, well, and let me tell you real quick, there's another voice I'm hearing on my phone here, a little bit distracting if there's something on your end.
Oh, we'll take care of that.
No, that's fine. No, you know, I threw at the end of the book, I threw a story to talk about that there's sometimes And that's just my own personal philosophy of abundance. There's sometimes you do things because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes you do things that may not benefit you, and it's not always about getting credit for the work that you do. Of course, there's no shame, I think, in getting credit for doing good work. But occasionally you help someone because it's the right thing to do. Occasionally there will be that client who really needs what I have. I had breakfast this morning with a colleague who is struggling to get into the business. They don't have money to pay me. It's just part of you know, being right with the universe of
karma, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. All right. That makes sense. My guest is David Averin. We're talking about his book, It's Not Who You Know, It Is Who Knows You. And David, what do you want readers to get out of reading your book?
You know what? When I wrote the book, it wasn't a standard marketing book. There's enough books that show you how to write a marketing plan or a linear kind of a thing. I wrote the book that I like to read, and the book is just stories. It's ideas. The idea is that you can put it next to your, put it on your bedstand, you can stick it in your bathroom or on your desk, and just open up to any page and get an idea and a story that sort of illustrates why these certain tactics and strategies work in not only raising your profile, but helping people to think about you what you want them to think. We need to do that deep dive and say, what makes us different? What makes us special? And then who needs to hear that? And how do we find them? You think about your core target audiences, who your ideal prospects and customers. What do they watch? What do they read? Where do they congregate and dine and connect and collect? And are you where they are? So what I do in the book is lay out some fun and interesting and creative strategies to reach them in some creative ways, so that not only is your profile raised, but you've got good visibility. You are remembered in a way you want to be remembered. We're bombarded by so many images and messages every day. Which are the ones that you remember, and why do you remember them? That's what I like to highlight in my book.
The average consumer gets 22,000 impressions a day from different advertisers. How do you stand out in that group? My guest is David Averin. David, what did you get personally out of writing this book?
You know what? It's a great question. What I got was it made me think deeper. It made me better at what I do. Now, I've spoken across the country and around the world in Singapore and Bangkok and London and Melbourne. I'm heading to Buenos Aires, Argentina in October.
Wow.
And, you know, oftentimes it's the same message, and I'm very passionate about what I do. But when I got this book deal with Wiley, a wonderful publisher, I thought, okay, how do I stretch what I'm saying about finding that differentiation, raising your visibility, having a clear plan of how you're going to get out there on a regular basis. How do I fill up 250 pages with saying the same thing? And what it did for me was what made me think, how many creative ways can I think of? How many stories can I tell where it illustrates like, oh, that makes sense? And I had the best time and one of the best feedback that I get is from friends and colleagues and the thousands of others who gratefully have bought this book, who will call me, send me emails, and say, I can hear your voice when I read this. Because I kind of write for the year, because I talk for a living.
Right.
And so in telling stories, it's not an academic look. It's not a how-to, here's how to. There's plenty of books and wonderful books that tell you how to do that. I want you to be pumped. I want you to be energized. I want you to open to any page, read a quick story before you go to bed, and think, I can do that. What a cool idea. And writing those notes on your nightstand, easily actionable, identifiable things that talks about all of the different ways we can raise our visibility, stand out in a very competitive marketplace.
And the book is filled with all of those ideas. My guest has been David Averin, author of the book, It's Not Who You Know, It's Who Knows You. David, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Sure. The book is available, of course, at bookstores nationwide and all the online places, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And my website is visibilitycoach.com. And take a look. You can see what it is that I do. I speak at a lot of conferences around, and I'm very passionate about helping business owners raise their profile and build their business. Visibilitycoach.com.
Visibilitycoach.com. Check it out. Thank you, David, for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Day.